Hi, I'm Susan Evans from SusanEvans.org, and today I'm going to talk about organizing your prayer life. I'm going to be covering two different things today. One is how to set aside a consistent time to pray so that you make sure that you do pray. And then secondly, different systems that you can use in order to organize your prayers. And for me, visual prayer is what works the best. But I will show you lots of different ways that people have organized their prayer lives over the years, and what works really, really well for me. Okay, so first, in organizing our prayer lives, we want to make sure that we set aside time to pray, even if it's just 5 minutes. If all you do is say one sentence every once in a while to God, that is not a deep and vibrant prayer life. That is not what Jesus did. Jesus set aside times to pray. Paul set aside times to pray in the New Testament. All of the believers in the early church, they were fervently praying. They set aside time to pray. Prayer is supposed to be labor, and so if it's just one sentence every once in a while throughout the day, you are not mature in your prayer life, and that's the truth. You don't want if you're married, you don't want your husband and children to be unprayed for in the very areas that you know about that nobody else knows about. Okay. So you're the only person that can pray for those things, for your children and for your husband. And so, once you understand that God acts through prayer and that many times he does not act when we do not pray. And so, that's why he commands us to pray. One of the reasons he commands us to pray, besides connecting with God, is to have transformed lives. And you want the lives of your children to be transformed, to be closer and closer with Christ, as well as your husband, as well as yourself, as well as your father and mother, your family members, your extended family members, your close friends, people from church, missionaries. I mean, there's so many people that need prayer. And when you say, I'll pray for you, to somebody, do you want to be unfaithful? No, you don't. You want to actually pray because you get joy when the other person has answered prayer if you have prayed. So, how do you set aside consistent time to pray? You need to decide what time is best for you. Now, for me, first thing in the morning is the best time for me to do it. But if you have to go straight to work super early in the morning, and if you're foggy in the morning and it's hard for you to pray in the morning, some people have a prayer life in the evening. Other people, if you work all day and you have a lunch break, you could eat your lunch and then you can like walk around the block while praying. That really helps actually. When you are exercising, it keeps you alert and helps you to pray. So if you are alone when you are walking or exercising, like during a lunch break, you can set aside that time to pray, okay? Or if you go to a gym to work out, you could set aside that time to pray. It's a little bit harder in a gym because there's usually music playing for you to focus on your prayers, but maybe you can do that, I don't know. Anyway, so there's many times during the day that you can set aside to pray, but if you actually carve out time during the day to pray, then it will happen because you get into the habit of it. Okay? So set aside time to pray, make it a consistent time so that it does happen. All right? Now, the second thing about organizing your prayer life is, how do you want to organize your prayer requests for people? Now, like I said, for me, it's visual. I do not write anything down. I see the people in my mind, and then I pray for their prayer requests, and I'll tell you more about that last. First, I want to show you or tell you about prayer journals and things like that. Prayer journals have never worked for me, okay? But I have lots of friends who love their prayer journals, and it works really well for them. So, what types of things can you use for prayer journal? You can use a spiral notebook for a prayer journal. You can use a binder. You can have dividers, like one divider can be for your family, another divider can be for your friends, another divider can be for church people or, you know, people at work or, I don't know, whatever your spheres of influence are, okay? Like for me, it would be maybe homeschool moms because I'm a board member of our local homeschool group, and so I have certain homeschool moms that I'm praying for. And then, like back when I was a Cub Scout leader, I would pray for my Cub Scout boys. So that would be a separate category. Okay. I don't do this. Okay. But it works for some people to do this if you like that sort of thing. Also like leather bound books that you can buy at a bookstore like Barnes and Noble or something. They smell really wonderful and they're either blank pages or they are lined pages. And you can use that to write down prayer requests. And, what I did when I was a kid back in Pioneer Girls where I kept a prayer journal is I put the date. And then I put the prayer request, and then I had another column of when the prayer request was answered. Another thing you can do is just write down the prayer request and then cross it off when it's answered. Okay, the thing I hate about prayer journals like this is that God has shown me over the years that the things that He wants me to pray for are not usually circumstantial things. And those are the things that get crossed off. Like, for example, if you pray for a woman to overcome worry, okay, she might, go years, like 20 or 30 years, and she never overcomes worry, and then she dies. So are all of your prayers for her in her area of worry, is it worth it? And the answer is yes. You could see her growing in the area of worry. Maybe she was worried sick before, and then she has grown and grown and grown closer to Christ in the area of prayer and transformed, but she never got rid of it completely. Well, I mean, if you pray prayer requests like that for people, and you should, instead of God taking away yucky circumstances, I mean, God put those circumstances there to sanctify us, to cause us to draw closer to Christ, okay? And he allows certain things to happen. So some things are His allowable will, some things are His perfect will, and without which you couldn't do what you're doing now. Like, for example, there's some things that have happened to me in my past that are excruciating and just really hard. But I would not be the woman I am today had those things not happened. Those were the perfect will of God. That wasn't even the allowable will of God. Although I do believe the rape was the allowable will of God. God does not wish any evil upon anyone whatsoever. He loves us deeply and feels our pain, okay? But anyway, so what I'm saying about prayer journals is that if you're praying, like, okay, for people to be healed from a certain sickness or whatever, if it's a temporary thing, then yes, you can cross it off and that's no big deal because, you know, it's answered. But for those things that matter, the things that have eternal value, a lot of those things, some of them are sometimes miraculously answered. But a lot of them take a lot of time. So years and years. If you're praying for the salvation of somebody, sometimes you'll pray for 10 years and then finally they'll come to know Christ, and that's fabulous. But meanwhile, you have this huge list of things that God is not, it seems like God isn't hearing you or whatever, and you feel disappointed or I don't know. I mean, so to me, I didn't like it for that reason. But if you're praying for a lot of short-term kind of things for people, then that would work great. So maybe it would work for you. And actually, a lot of people have poor memories. And so the visual prayer that I'll mention last might not work for everybody, especially if you're not a visual person. I'm a visual person. Okay, so prayer journals is one thing. And then a second thing is a picture journal. Like I had, I took photographs of people that I was praying for, or I had photographs. And this was back when my kids were really young and I was teaching my children how to pray, and I wanted them to know who we were praying for. So, like, for example, Grandma and Grandpa. So we were praying for Grandma and Grandpa. So they had a picture, a photo of Grandma and Grandpa, and then under that would be their prayer requests. Like if Grandpa had cancer and we wanted God to heal him from his cancer or whatever, that would be under that. And so you could have a binder or just a regular journal or whatever, but it's with photos. And then under that, you would have the prayer requests. So that can be helpful, especially with younger children, if you're having a prayer time together as a family. So we've done that before. A third type of way to keep track of prayer requests that I've seen some people do is 3x5 cards. So they have a prayer request or a person on each 3x5 card, and then their prayer requests are listed on that 3x5 card. And then those are put into a recipe box. And then you have dividers in that recipe box, kind of similar to the dividers I was talking about in the binder, where you would have like missionaries that you're praying for, or family members, or whatever spheres of life. Like back when I had really young kids, I was a part of a MOPS group. And so other mothers of young children. So that might be a whole separate section or whatever. So whatever sections that you have, if you like cards, you can do it that way. So one thing that you could do is you could go through the cards. Like you could do family members every day, and then you could cycle through some of the other ones. I don't know. You'd have to ask somebody that's done that. I have not done that, but if that appeals to you, you could do it that way. Let's see, any other ways that people have organized prayers? Yes, they have typed up prayer lists from their computer and then printed it out. So you would, so you can go through the prayer requests like that. But see, to me, that seems like, I mean, I don't know. Okay, I would be reading it off basically and not really connecting to God per se. I mean, maybe I would. Anyway, what I'm saying is, if that helps you, that's fine. You can type out how you're going to pray for people and then print it out, and then you know not to forget anybody. That's fine. So you can do a printout, okay? So then last but not least is the visual prayer, which I want to take more time to explain because I've never heard of this before. I just invented it. I don't know if people from the past have prayed this way before. I'm looking, I mean, I've looked in books, I've read tons of prayer books over the years, and I've never seen people pray this way, but this is a way that I've prayed that is highly effective, and God, through His Holy Spirit, has taught me how to pray this way. When I asked Him to teach me how to pray, this is how He taught me how to pray from scratch. So, what I did first was I pictured a person, and then I asked God how to pray for that person. So I pictured their face, and then I asked God how to pray for them. And their prayers are like, you know, circles around their head, kind of like, if you've ever been in a writing class, this is like mind mapping, you know, like you have a circle in the middle, and you circle it like the name of a person, and then you draw lines out from there, and then you do circles for their prayer requests or whatever. So to me, it's a visual thing in my mind. Okay. So I never write anything down. I have it in my mind. Okay. And so I have, like, for example, one circle of people is my family, So I see them in a circle, and then I see their prayer requests as circles around them. So, like, one of my sons, I will have their prayer requests, okay? So the things that they're struggling with in life, their character deficiencies, maybe they're not getting along with their brother and sister, and I need to pray that they would have a supernatural love for them or patience or endurance with another brother or sister who is annoying to them or whatever. And, I mean, if you don't pray these things, then no growth will happen in their life in that area, because you see it, but nobody else knows about it. And if you talk to other people about it, you're gossiping or slandering your son or daughter, usually, by the way. So really, if you see a character deficiency, you are responsible before God. If it's in your family and nobody else knows about it, you're responsible to pray for your family members. That's for sure. I mean, as parents especially, scripture says that we're responsible spiritually for our children. And as a spouse, we are one with our spouse. So we are supposed to pray for them as well. Okay, so then what I would do is I would picture like the people in my Bible study. So I picture them all sitting around a table or around a living room, however you do it in your Bible study. And then the prayer requests of each of those people, I see those around their head. Okay. So, I picture one person from the Bible study, and then I pray for all the things for that person. And then I go to the next person and I pray for all the things for that person, like that. Okay. So if you have set aside time to pray, you're actually able to pray this way for people, and you engage your heart, you care, you grow to love these people dearly. And then you care that their prayer requests are answered, and you're so excited and happy, and it's interconnected with just spiritual joy. And it's wonderful to set aside time to pray like this. So it's so worth it to organize your prayer life in this way. And so for me, visual prayer is the most powerful way to pray, because I don't need... I can be in my car, I can be in another country, because it's in my mind. And plus, like, I can bookmark where I am. Like, let's say the phone rings or one of my kids yells or something while I'm praying, I can bookmark where I am in my mind. Like, I pray for a lot of pastors, so then I know, and I always pray in the same order so that I don't forget people, okay? So like, when I'm praying for people in my Bible study, I don't pray for like one or two and then jump over to, one or two missionaries and then jump back to people from the Bible study and then jump to, one of my sons and then jump to something else. No, that's too, scatterbrained. So for me, I always pray in the same order. Now, you don't have to pray in the same order. It's fabulous to be freed up to just open your heart to God and rest in God's presence. You should do that every day anyway, especially at the beginning, and make sure you don't have any unconfessed sin in your life, or God will not hear you anyway. So you might as well not pray at all if you have unconfessed sin in your life. So at the beginning of a prayer, you open your heart to God, you, are in silence before the Lord, and you focus your heart on God, and you rest in His presence. And even 1 minute, one full, deep, relaxing minute to be open to the Lord in prayer at the beginning can help enormously. Sometimes God leads me for something I'm supposed to do that day that if I hadn't done that, I would have no idea, because I hadn't asked God. It didn't even occur to me that I needed to do something that day that was different than what I had planned, you know? So always make sure to do that. It only takes 1 minute. I mean, honestly, everybody can do that. And then make sure you don't have any unconfessed sin in your life, so you can ask God to forgive your sin and to transform you in whatever area of sin he's just shown you. And then intercession, then the huge bulk of your prayer should be intercession, okay? So now I'm talking about the structure of a prayer. It's free form, by the way. I mean, you can just do whatever God leads you to do, okay? I prefer to do praise and thanksgiving through song. So I do that separate from prayer unless I'm praying. Let's say I'm praying for people from my Bible study and God answered in a huge way, miraculously, in one of those people's lives. So when I'm praying, I come across that person and I thank the Lord and I feel a deep sense of gratitude right then and there in that place, because that's where I used to pray about that thing and then God answered. And so I have joy when I get to that particular spot. So anyways, but I'm talking about how to organize the actual prayer itself. Is I organize it by categories, and like you do in your mind family, and then friends, close friends. Like I have my best friend and her family are like family to me, so they're right connected to my family. And then other people that God has put on my heart, really heavy on my heart. Anyways, so there's different people in different categories that I pray for like this. So the actual structure of the prayer, even if it's free form, you should always open your heart to God and be silent and connect to the Lord so that you're not just shutting your eyes and blabbing some words and saying amen and walking off and you never connected to God. You know? So take 1 minute, okay? Even if you only have a 5-minute prayer, 1 minute, just connect to the Lord in silence and draw close to the Lord. And then any unconfessed sin, ask for forgiveness. And then the huge block, whatever if it's 5 minutes, then 5 minutes. If it's half hour, then half hour, however long you want to pray. Or maybe it's however long and you're finished, depending on how many people you're praying for. So intercession is the huge thing. And then to me, thanksgiving is interspersed through the intercession when God has answered the request that I am asking. So that's how thankfulness goes in there. So I don't believe in the whole acts thing. Acts is the letter A stands for adoration. C is confession. T is thanksgiving. And then S is supplication or praying for other people. Well, adoration, I feel like that is a farce. If your heart is not right with God, then he does not accept your adoration whatsoever. So I think it's useless to have that first. I think connecting to God and then having him show you your sin, making sure that you have all your sin confessed, should be the beginning of your prayer. And then intercession should be the huge thing. And then if you want to have some thanksgiving at the end, that's fine. But for me, the thanksgiving is interspersed. So that's how I structure the actual prayer. In and of itself, and adoration, I do that separately in the playing praise music, or I sing praises to God. And sometimes I magnify the Lord, like when I'm outside. Sometimes in the summer, if I'm spending my prayer time outdoors, and I open my heart to God at the beginning, you know, for that 1 minute, sometimes that turns into 5 or 10 minutes where I'm resting before the Lord, and then I praise God, but I don't have any unconfessed sin at that point, you know. I praise and magnify the Lord. So yes, you can do that in your prayers as well. That's just how I structure my prayers, just so that, you know that you can do it that way. Also, if you just feel a need to pray for one specific person, and then you just can dive in and pray and intercede, and then, you know, and then be finished, that's fine too. So you don't have to do it any certain way, but make sure that you do set aside time to pray each day. Make sure that you've thought through how you want to organize your prayers, or if you just want to have it free form, that's fine too. But these are ways to organize your prayer life for people that you have said that you would pray for them. If you are supporting missionaries, I want to make sure that I pray for the missionaries that I'm supporting. Oh my goodness. I want to make sure that their work is effective because, you know, it hurts my family financially to help every month, other missionaries. And so I'm connected to what they're doing. Whatever happens in their ministry, I get eternal reward for because I'm supporting them. So I want that to be great for His kingdom. I want it to be great. And so I beg the Lord with all my heart and soul, you know, for any prayer requests that they have. And I deeply want, God's will to be done in their lives and in the lives around them because they're being used for His kingdom. Usually there's more people coming to Christ than in my own life where I'm around my kids all the time because I'm a homeschool mom. And so I'm a stay at home mom. And so I'm in my home most days. And so I'm not around unbelievers. So it's, maybe at a supermarket, but usually they're working really quickly and there's people behind you and stuff. So, because I don't have that many opportunities to lead people to Christ, I can pray for the people who do. And that's why I want to make sure that my prayers are organized in such a way that I do not forget them. Okay. So, these are some ideas on how to organize your prayer life. I'm Susan Evans. I hope you enjoyed this audio.